Oh, man.
All right, let's be official now.
You want to start this thing off?
Are you trying to turn so we can see your Baby Billy Bible Bonkers shirt? Have you seen this?
I love it.
That's fantastic. I want one. Make sure you get a good picture of that.
Well, we got to get a picture with them anyway.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's going to be cool. We're just having a little vent session. We're going to kick things off.
This is the money-making part of this show.
Like we just produced like an hour and a half worth of Patreon high-level account stuff.
It was $100 a tier. So.
At least. That one, some of that stuff should never. Anyway, we're here with Rob West of the Cigar Store Idiots.
What's happening?
Baby Billy's Bible Bonkers. Man, I love this shirt. That's fantastic.
I know we get a chance to talk about the couple of podcasts you've been in with me, and we the Gemstones is a special.
It's always it's always kind of orbiting the field of topics that we talk, because we our last few episodes over there have been they've been hit jobs on these phony pastors, and not hit jobs because they're true. I guess.
Yeah, kind of true.
But we call them out, and
is
what it is.
Yeah. And as Baby Billy says, stop all that crying, Lana. Ain't nobody trying to kidnap you.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. But here we are on Burnham Podcast this time. If you noticed, you saw the last episode that Rob was on. You know that he is the incredible disappearing man. What are we doing, Rob?
Oh, man, we're doing a lot. So the first of the year, right before the first of the year, I had been having some issues, like medically.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know really what was going on with me. I'm one of these kind of people. I grew up in a house where we didn't go to the doctor.
Right.
And we don't take medicine. We just don't. It's just what we do. It's what we don't do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And, but I was going through some things where my memory was super foggy. I couldn't remember anything. It was just stay cloudy.
Yeah.
My thoughts wouldn't get together. My brain was working faster than my mouth was. And so it kind of alarmed me because my grandmother, my dad's side of the family, my grandmother, my great-grandmother had dementia.
Mm.
And they passed away with it, which is terrible.
Yeah.
And I used to have a personal training client, and her mother, very young age, maybe I wanted to say she was in her 40s. I'm 49. I'll be 50 this year. But she had got, maybe she was in her late 40s, early 50s. She had got dementia and passed away
in her 40s.
Yes, so
that's scary stuff.
I have things that's coming up. Of course, at the time I had a grandbaby that was going to be born.
Mm-hmm.
Our life just goes hard.
Yeah,
Our schedules are full. We've got tons of things to do, and man, I was losing motivation to do anything. I didn't have any drive to do anything. I was wallowing in my own self pity because something was wrong with me. And so I went to the doctor, and I went over to see Dr. Klein over at Prestige Medical Group,
mm-hmm.
and I just told him, and Lee's been a friend of mine for years.
I heard great things.
Man, he's a great dude. And I told him, I said, look, these are the things that are going on with me. These are my concerns. I don't really want to take any medication, but I would like for you to run a panel on me, mm-hmm. see what's going on. And so we did a full blood panel. Everything came back great. Cholesterol's good. Heart rate's good. Everything's good. But I just felt like, something was off. And so I told him that we'd talk about maybe looking at some things. He had some suggestions and we would take a look at some things. And so I had another friend of mine who had told me about taking a look at a polar plunge, start doing like ice bath therapy and get into something like that. And he's like, research it and just see what you think. And that's my philosophy. That's my thing that I will tell everybody. You know, everything that I'm about to say right now, I'm not saying do it because it works. I'm saying do your research. Yeah. It worked for me.
Rob is not a doctor.
I am not a doctor. I played one on TV.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to take a look.
He wears scrubs for a living.
If you want to go back at Southern Gothic, I was a doctor on Southern Gothic. I forgot what season and episode it was.
Oh, man, that's cool.
But that's about as close as I've become to being a doctor.
That's close enough.
I just had to get some bad news to a family whose daughter wasn't going to make it.
Mm.
But anyways, so I started researching it. And, of course, I love Joe Rogan. I listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, and the one with Dr. Andrew Huberman on there. Mm-hmm. We took a listen to that, and liked a lot of things that they were saying. Because it's kind of the way my mindset is. Because I don't like to take medication for anything. I'm just not that guy. So I researched it, And I told Brittany, I was like, look, if you would get me this for Christmas, as crazy as this sounds, buy me this Polar tub.
Right.
And I'm going to try something. She was like, okay, weirdo, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. Yeah. And so that's what they got me for Christmas. So it came in January 1st. It came in on, well, I think December the 30th or whatever. And I said, January 1st, we're starting a whole new
game
thing.
Game on.
We're changing things. So I did the 72-hour water fast, the one that Dana White had did. I did that Ooh. First. And that was hard.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just kind of get me ready, kind of get me prepped to what was going to happen next. So I did that. So it was water and bone broth was all I had for 72 hours. No food.
Didn't there any eat. Calories in bone broth?
Not this one. It's, okay. It's got, if you get, there's one specific one that I get and I'll send it to you. Okay. I can't really remember right offhand, but it doesn't have any, it's good. Low sodium, like the best one you can get. You can get it at Publix. But anyways, I got that. I did that 72 hours. Which was crazy because it was during the holidays. So I was like, you know, I was going tough. Through it. So it comes in January 1st. I started, and so I started plunging three times a week. So I'd go Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And the research on it, 11 minutes is a sweet spot.
11 minutes.
11 minutes a week.
A week.
Not
okay.
per
All
time.
Right. All right, we can do 11 minutes
a 11 week. 11 minutes a week, a day, you're a crazy
That's
person.
Too much.
But,
yeah.
So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I was getting in. And honestly, I was doing 5 minutes, like mm-hmm. trying to do 5 minutes each time, you know. So 11 minutes is a sweet spot. So I started doing that, and I did that for a whole month. For that whole month, my mental clarity came back. My brain fog was gone. My energy levels had returned.
Yeah.
I felt good. Yeah, like I felt yeah. good. I was telling you that I had injured my shoulder years ago lifting weights. I used to lift real heavy. I had a chronic nagging shoulder injury on the mm-hmm. right side. If I laid on my shoulder too long and when I slept, or if I did any kind of workout, push-ups, overhead presses, anything like that, that shoulder would kill me for like
you know, just
2 weeks.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah, 2 weeks it would kill me. And so I started plunging and I was like, man, full range of motion, like none of this, like my shoulder feels fine. It feels good.
Rocking and rolling.
I mean, it feels great. So so I was like, okay, what's my next step? My next step is I'm still a little heavy. I want to lose some more weight. And and also too, when I started plunging, I took a fat picture of myself. So I some accountability.
Yeah.
So I took that fat picture so I wanted to be able to see, you know, a weekly progression of if this is working, if these things are changing.
Right.
Mentally, yes. Physically, yes. Health-wise, yes. But I wanted to see if I could see any changes. So yeah. I did see some changes as far as, like, my body changing when I started plunging.
Only the first after picture you posted was, what, 18 days?
Yeah, 18 days
And
out.
You could tell a difference.
And you could see a yeah. tremendous difference. I started chugging water, just drinking a ton of water. I started eating better, but it wasn't strict. It was just like I was just trying to do better. Cut out the sweets. That was the main thing, was cutting out the sweets. And I was still eating carbs.
If you can get rid of sugar, man. Yeah.
Man, you got to beat if you yeah. can get rid of the sugar. But it's in everything, so you have to really pay attention to what you're doing.
Right.
So February 1st rolls around, and I'm like, that's it. I'm getting on a carnivore diet. And so I did a research on that, kind of saw the things, the benefits of that. And I was like, let's just do it, man. Let's go after it. And so carnivore diet, there's different stages of a carnivore diet. So my diet consists every day of red meat and eggs and cheese.
Sounds
so
terrible. Right? So how do you do it?
No, dude, it is the greatest thing.
Right.
So every once in a while, like I'll throw in like, you know, if there's some leftover chicken, I'll wolf it down. You know, I just eat whatever. But the odd thing is I came from like training people and working out, and I tell people, you know, to get where you need to be, you need to eat 4 or 5 times a day.
Right.
4 or 5 times a day. You hear that? You hear that? You hear that? I probably eat 2 times a day, but I eat so much when I eat, I'm so full throughout the day.
Yeah.
And when I eat dinner, I'm full through the night, sleep through the night, get up the next day. Sometimes I'm still full from the night before. Like I have to make myself eat in the morning.
Morning and then like morning and evening?
Yeah, yeah.
Just lunch.
No lunch.
Oh, yeah,
so,
sure.
And if I want a snack, if I get hungry, if I want some kind of snack, I got some beef jerky. Or I have these sausages cooked up that I'll just grab a couple of them and eat them. Or I always have boiled eggs on standby. So
yeah,
boiled egg is the go-to,
man. Yeah.
So we'll do that. When I started doing that, and I was like, you research and you find out that you know, your carb cravings go away about week three. Mm. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to not crave pasta or rice.
That's
love rice. I love rice with everything. And honest to God, about the third weekend, I was like, yeah, this is so crazy, but I don't even want it. Like, I don't want to eat any of that. I don't want to eat bread. I don't want to eat carbs. You know, I don't want to eat potato, any you know, starchy stuff. I don't want any of it. And we had went somewhere. We went to Birmingham to a vintage market, and we went somewhere to eat. And I got this double stack hamburger, and I was just going to eat the meat out of it.
Right.
You know, the meat and the cheese and the bacon. That's all I was going to eat. And you can eat bacon. Bacon's like a snack, which is how can you go wrong with eating bacon for a snack?
Can't go wrong eating bacon for a snack.
So I was like, I'll eat half of this hamburger bun because I thought I wanted it.
Mm.
And so I ate half of the hamburger bun. And
just
it made me sick, dude. I was like, I was sick.
Oh,
and I was like, so that would let me know my carb cravings were about to come to an end.
Right.
Because it didn't taste good and it made me feel bad. So it kind of fired me up to continue on. Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
I sound like Porky Pig over here.
Tango edited it out.
But when I really started noticing like significant weight loss after I started the carnivore, after I started doing that, man, I feel good. And I do, I have a little workout routine I do. And when I used to work out before, I would kill myself.
Yeah.
Heavy weights, like being in a gym for a long, long time. No, man, it's just some kettlebell movements. I have a TRX that I use, and I do 100 pushups a day now.
So how's your energy? Even
my energy's good. Like I'm like good.
You're just eating a lot of fat with the carnivore.
Yes. So that's
what everybody always says. Fat, you got to have carbs for energy. Well, you don't.
No, not really. And then the thing too, another people's like, well, you know, if you have that meat in your stomach and it's just set in your stomach, it's just like, you know, but that's real nutrition that your body's breaking down.
Yeah.
There's no garbage in there. It's just breaking down nutritional things for you.
Right.
So, and it takes a little longer. Bathroom thing, I'll be honest with you, 2 weeks in,
man,
it was rough.
That's the story. That's the worst part.
Yeah, it was not pleasant. Yeah. But that works through too, and you'll get to that part as well.
Well, you're getting yourself back to, I mean, you think about 1,000 years ago, what did people eat? Well, they ate what they killed.
Yeah.
You know, that's meat. So we're sort of backtracking now and reprogramming our intestines, our digestive tract, you know, to go back to what it was.
Yeah, because we've been eating garbage.
Yeah.
Like, we eat garbage every day.
And man,
that's the thing that I like about it truly is if you can get to that philosophy, I think, where if you're eating anything that you can catch and kill, hunt, and grow, then you're on the right track.
Yeah. Man.
So if I can get that mindset and keep that mindset, I just think that future here on out, me being healthier is just going to be better.
Well, once you can get there, you just can maintain it.
Yeah. It's harder to get there.
Yeah.
And easy to maintain.
Right.
But it's super hard. If you don't stay diligent, stay on top of it, you will lose it.
Yeah.
Way faster than it took you to get there.
Well, especially now that we're not as young as we used to be.
I know, man.
You know, and that's tough. And
yeah.
I don't know. I'm feeling convicted now. I'm glad you came on tonight and we talked about this because I got to make some of those changes. And I'm out in the community and we're like gonna minister to some homeless people, some hungry people, and I'm fat. Like,
yeah.
What am I supposed to say to this person? You know, like I've been convicted about that before, but it's a matter of just making the change.
It's
right?
a mindset.
Yeah.
It is 100%. And I used to say this all the time. Like I heard this from my old football coach back in high school. Mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I've tried to get myself back on track with, is thinking about, it's just mental. It's all mental. So many people say there's no way I can go sit in that cold water for 5 minutes.
Yeah, you can.
You can. Yeah. Absolutely can. You know, that first, 15, 30 seconds is tough. It is. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But once you get your breathing under control, you're fine. The crazy thing about the human body is, though, when you get in there and you start feeling fine, your body's is created what's called a thermal layer around your body. So it'll hold heat. Which is crazy because you're just in there.
Well, you get past that initial shock phase and calm your breathing down and relax, and then you got that heat layer. And
So what you have to do is you have to keep moving in the water, moving your arms, keep breaking up that thermal layer. Because if you don't, I mean, you're still getting the benefits of it. So, but if you want to keep kind of pushing the envelope, you just keep moving in there.
Stay cold.
They've got some that runs the water through. And so the water's constantly moving.
Like a jet.
Like a
kinda,
jet, yes. Yeah. So you can't ever
So build. Does yours not do that?
No.
It's just cold water?
Yeah, so yeah. I just have to keep moving in mine. So
what does, if you don't mind, if we're just going to say it out on the podcast, what does something like that cost?
The one that I have is, I think they got them on sale right now on Amazon. They're like, you know, $89 or $100.
There you go.
Dude, it is not bad.
And well, what you look at something like that and you think, well, that's got to be $1,500.
Well, there's some that are. Yeah. There's some that are very expensive. But of course,
it doesn't have to be.
I've got an Amazon Prime, not an Amazon Prime, but an Amazon storefront with our podcast. And if anybody wants to link, they can shoot me a message and I will hook you up.
There you go.
I'll let you hook yourself up. So I did do some math though. When it gets warm, 3 days a week, I'll have to get at least 2 bags of ice, okay? Two big bags. So the math on that at the end of the year is close to $1,000. So if I pay $1,000 for ice, I'm probably going to be divorced.
I guess your ice was staying pretty good when it was 25 degrees outside.
When it's cold outside, yeah. The water was cold, yeah. So so now I'm looking into getting, it's like a little cooler box. It's got two hoses that feeds in. So what it does, it's a chiller. So it'll draw the water in the chiller and send it back into the tub. Okay. And it keeps the water cold at 32 degrees.
Yeah.
So about $500 on that.
Woo. Yeah, but I mean.
But again, you know, let's do the math on it.
Yeah.
What's smarter? So.
Well, you can pay $500 for your chiller box, or you can buy $1,000 worth of ice.
Yeah, I'm like, honey, you don't understand. It just showed up. I don't know how it got here. So, yeah. But so that's kind of what's been going on with me. Like the benefits from it have been, they've exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
You know, I want to continue to just kind of stay on this carnivore diet and see where that goes. I may start adding in some greens like asparagus, Brussels, or broccoli.
Yeah.
Probably not anything else, though. You know,
I wouldn't get crazy with it.
A lot of terrible things about commercial corn and how the pesticides are sprayed. I mean, seriously, I think a lot of the problems that we have nowadays, whether it be dementia or other things, is probably from a lot of pesticides and poisons that we ingest every single day.
Well, you think about the air we're breathing on the street out here in front of this place.
Right.
You know, like we're in it. It's kind of the world we live in now.
Yeah. But I did hear a thing with this is odd in other countries, you know, that they are kind of tying dementia into, they call it diabetes stage 3.
Oh.
So that's a different way to look at some things too. So, and it kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
but that's a whole other podcast, and you need somebody way smarter than me.
Yeah, I know, right? To get into, bring in Dr. So and So next time,
Dr. Phil. Yeah,
that's his heart.
But all those things are working, and I encourage anybody that if you're having issues with depression, your energy's down, you got brain fog, especially if you're getting in your late 30s, late 40s, early 50s, which we all start kind of dealing with it at some point.
Yeah.
You want to think outside the box and you don't want to take any kind of medication, man, just try it.
Yeah.
Just try it.
Yeah.
What have you got to lose?
Man. I mean, for that matter, you can fill up your bathtub.
Yes. And absolutely.
Chuck some ice in there.
I mean, some people will do cold showers. I could never do a cold shower.
I was doing the cold shower thing for a while, and it's just so, like, if I can get in the water, like be in the water, I think I could handle that. But man, the cold shower is like, somebody hits you across the back with a boat paddle.
Yeah.
And then you got to turn around so you can get the other side wet. And it feels like all over again.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is miserable.
But it's an option. You know, it's an option. Yeah. So, but yeah, you can get ice. They sell big plastic bags now that you can fill up with water and freeze. But just remember, you got to have somewhere to put them to freeze.
Right.
You got a refrigerator. They ain't going to fit in there.
Cooler to just for your ice bags. Yeah.
So there's alternatives. But I mean, $100 is not that bad to give it a shot just to see, you know, if it benefits you.
That's not a bad price at all.
I think if you have heart issues, it's kind of a gray area for you to use a Polar Plunge. Just like I said, you know, do your research and get with your doctor. Find out what your doctor says about it.
Yeah.
Don't tell your doctor, I'm going to do this because I don't want to take medicine. Doctor may not want to see you anymore.
Right, but if he says don't do it, then get a different doctor.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Get another opinion.
Right. You know? I'm not a doctor.
Take an opinion of a guy that has a podcast.
I mean, that's what we're doing these days, right? The podcasters are the experts.
Are we telling the truth?
I mean.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We are.
So.
We
are. There was something. Oh, yeah. And so the next thing that I'm looking to do And hopefully we're going to get to start that pretty soon. Peptides are kind of a new thing to mainstream. I think a lot of people have known about the benefits of peptides for quite some time.
Yeah.
I still have an issue with my shoulder. I used to work out heavy when I was younger. I used to do jiu-jitsu a good bit. Not anymore because I'm too old and fragile.
Man.
But they have an old man's class over there at Scramble.
Yeah, we've kind of claimed Thursday night.
Oh.
Well, you know, maybe. It's our old guy class.
I come in with my walker and my boot on. But I've been seeing a lot of things and doing some research again. Research. Peptides, there's one. It's got a sexy name to it. It's called the Wolverine Stack.
And
you got BPC 175, and then you got TB 500. Is it 179? I can't remember. I have to look. Just giving misinformation now. But that it's called the Wolverine Stack. You can look it up. And so what that supposedly does is helps you regenerate tissue from old injuries or new injuries. So what we're doing, I'm taking a look at that, and I'm going to get scanned. I'm going to get x-rays on my shoulders and my knees and my ankles. And then we're going to start doing that. So we're going to do
that. You're going to get a before and after.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So we're going to do that for like 3 months. So I'm going to do a 3-month therapy, peptide therapy.
That's going to be fun.
And I know it's a lot of sticking. That's what I'm not real crazy about.
Oh, it's like an injection.
Yes.
I mean, I don't mind getting stuck, but
it's a lot.
I don't want to get stuck a lot.
Yeah. So we'll take a look at that. After 3 months, we'll go back and we'll get x-rayed again, and then we'll just see what the benefits, you know, see if we've got any benefits.
If you've noticed
if
anything.
If pain's going away, yes, that's
good
great.
Enough.
If we got some, regenerated tissue in some areas where I've had pain, that's even better. So, and if it does do all those things, I'll definitely come back and we'll talk about the specifics of it.
Yeah.
And how maybe I could point some folks in the right direction to get on track. So I know people personally who have used them, and issues that they've had and pains that they've had are completely gone now.
Man.
It's supposed to be the closest thing to stem cells you can get without, in the States.
Without traveling to Mexico
or Colombia.
Colombia, that was the other one, yeah.
And if you hadn't looked at the price on stem cell therapy, it's I think it's about $5,000 to $8,000.
Well, where does it stack up against peptides?
Yeah, a lot.
It's a lot different?
I think it's a lot different.
I don't know.
I think it's a lot different. So, yeah. You don't have to do it as long, I don't think. I think just get one session helps.
One session of stem cells?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worth it then. That's what we talk about, the extra price and get it over with.
The other thing, I know, like, I listened to Hulk Hogan had talked about doing stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
And his body's so beat up.
Yeah, he's red.
That it didn't respond.
Yeah.
His body didn't respond to it. So
I was a pro wrestler for 40 years.
It's different for different people.
Yeah.
And it's different for different people. I haven't been thrown on my back 100,000 times.
Imagine dropping that leg like 300 nights a year.
That's why his back's so red and crushed.
Well, they say he used to be like 6'9" and now he's like 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
Just from hammering his spine.
And they would go in and drill his discs to take the pressure. So his spine looks like Swiss cheese.
Ugh.
Could you imagine, dude? That's a life I never would want.
He started getting in, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
In 30 years ago type treatments, and nobody was thinking about stem cells or peptides.
No,
then they were like, let's just poke some holes in there and see,
There's so many different things that's out there now. Again, let me reiterate, you got to do your own research.
Yeah.
You got to see what works 100%. Best for you. Talk to the right people, get hooked up with the right channels. Your healthcare professional, healthcare provider.
Right. Yeah.
Talk to those folks.
That's the disclaimer, Tango. Don't laugh at us.
Yeah.
No. I was thinking of the disclaimer of this isn't a professional wrestling podcast.
Well, this is still not a professional wrestling podcast.
Brother.
We did mention Hulk Hogan, so we crossed a line there. But
Lex Luger, coming to get you, brother.
Randy Macho Man Savage is here.
But take a look at it, man. Take a look at something. Get outside the box to get healthy. It's kind of like my new thing.
I think health is an outside of the box thing because we're all different, and like we could have, I think, the same condition and maybe even need different medications for different treatments. Because we all go to the same doctor. The doctor's like, "Well, take these pills because this is what you take for this thing." When in fact, you could have just done some cold plunges and changed your diet. And
that's the main thing.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
You know,
eat what you're supposed to.
80% of your health is whatever you put in your mouth.
Yeah.
It is. Maybe a higher percent than that.
I haven't heard it in a long time. It used to be on TV, like after school specials and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you are what you eat. Well, like, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a thing, you know, like you really, whatever
it
you put
really
in,
is.
The fuel you know, your power in your meat vehicle with is,
yeah,
it's important.
Remember the Saturday morning specials? The little orange with legs and a cowboy hat?
Yeah.
He used
yeah.
to sing, I hanker for a hunk of cheese.
A hunk of cheese, yeah.
I hanker for a smoked Gouda is my favorite. So that's
I mean, smoked Gouda, that's carnivore,
cheese.
Right?
It's, yeah, that's it, man. Yeah. I eat, like, you know, my wife does charcuterie boxes, and I've ate all the fancy cheese. Like, it's all gone.
Are you eating her supplies?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
man,
yeah.
You're cutting into
she
the profits,
She was like,
Rob?
Are you freaking eating my Gouda? And I was like, yeah, it's so Gouda.
The Gouda cheese.
It's Bada so bing. Gouda. But, yeah, yeah. So that's what's been going on.
Man, you look great, man.
Thank you.
You're rocking and rolling.
I feel better.
I feel convicted.
Don't.
So there's
I
that.
Want you to feel inspired.
I do, man. And I'm thinking, like, I'm going to have to sign up for a jiu-jitsu tournament or something and, like, put some – because I think about I'm getting old and I shouldn't be as fat as I am. But, like, if I had to be in shape by September, like, that's a different thing.
Yeah. But you
– you know.
I mean, look at me. I'm not even 2 months – I'm almost 2 months in.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't have to take 6 months,
dude,
right?
I don't even know how much weight I've lost. I really don't.
I think it's a great idea that you're not weighed.
Yeah. You know what I weighed when I was like, you fat, disgusting piece of pig. Look at you. 211. I never weighed 211 pounds in my life.
Oh, man.
And that's even when I used to work out like a freak and yeah. do things that I wasn't supposed to do. And I was jacked. And I didn't weigh 211 pounds. I was, and I look at myself now. And so what I'll tell you and anybody else that's listening, take your fat picture, man. Take that fat picture.
Man.
And get, you know,
I get one every Sunday it comes
fat
out.
Shame. I mean, fat shaming is to other people is not nice.
Right. No, don't fat shame other people.
Fat shame yourself to get your attention. It's what it took for me.
Man.
I'm like, dude, what are you doing with yourself? What are you doing? What happened? And I knew better. I mean, I knew better. I used to train people to stay in shape.
Well, it's easy to tell somebody else what to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was that guy that do what I say, don't do what I do. I was one of those guys.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, I preached last Sunday about that, Jesus warning people, the disciples, the Pharisees. He was like, do what they say, but don't do what they do because they're not holding it up. And this is the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you, like, go work out. I used to be a coach. I know these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
How to cut weight and all this stuff. And like, what am I doing it? Man, I really like pizza. You know,
man, I love pizza.
Yeah,
but I still have a sweet tooth though. Like,
I don't have a sweet tooth. Like, I'm fat because I like pizza and cheeseburgers.
My phone knows it because I get all these TikToks and reels
mm-hmm.
of lemon blueberry whatever, lemon blueberry waffles, lemon blueberry pancakes, lemon blueberry cookies. And I'm just like, and then banana bread, like banana bread stuff, this, that, and the other. I did have a cheat day. I won't lie. I went to,
you have to.
Honey Cream just opened back up in town.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not ate at Honey Cream, you are missing out.
Honey Cream's fantastic.
The greatest
Third
gelato.
Avenue in Rome.
It's artesian gelato. It's real gelato.
It's the best.
You can't
gelato.
Even get gelato like that unless you go to Italy. I'm convinced. I'm convinced.
It's real deal gelato.
We actually went to dinner at Aventine. And had the buffalo meatballs. Ate like six of them. They're excellent.
That sounds great.
I couldn't eat anything else because that's all they had on the menu that I could eat. So I ate those. And the people that we ate dinner with, they was like, you should get some gelato. And I was like, no.
I'm not eating gelato.
And they're like, why not? It's wonderful. And I said, sorry, Aventine. There's only one place in town that has gelato. And this ain't the one.
This ain't it. Yeah.
So we go to Honey Cream. And they have this whole Chinese New Year. She does a great job. Her name's Christy. She does a great job coming up with themed type gelatos for whatever the season is. They have some really cool. It's always changing.
I've only been there once or twice.
So they did a Chinese New Year gelato. And there was a monkey chase something, which was like a cross between a banana split and a banana pudding and a banana milkshake gelato. Okay, you feel me?
Okay.
And then they had this other one. It was called I don't remember what those, but it had candied almonds. And so I put both of those together. Now, my daughter works there, and she told me that people were getting the banana one and combining it with the dark chocolate, which I dropped the ball because I think that probably would have been wonderful.
Probably.
But I ate this gelato, and it was the happiest I've ever been. I was like,
that's how that should
I'm
going to
risk
though.
It all. I'm going to throw my whole diet in the garbage for this
little
place.
Gelato one night out of 28 days now. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't terrible. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So unless I go back next week.
Don't go back
next week. But no. So that's my sweet tooth, kicking in. It's like the it is the devil on my shoulder.
Yeah.
No doubt. So.
Kind of just, dust him off. It is what it is. But you've come a long way in other aspects too. Last time we were here, you had just gotten into church and religion, and you were figuring some things out. And how's that going?
Well, we're coming up on a year of when we started attending church. My big thing happened Easter Sunday of all days to go to church.
Right, yeah.
So there's been some really good things that's happened in this past year. There's been some challenging things that's happened in this past year, which I knew there would be.
Right.
We had kind of I didn't so much joke about it, but we got saved. I mean, I was already saved, but I was baptized this year.
Yeah.
And so with my baptism, I'm like thinking like every new guy that comes out of the water, my life's going to be sunshine and roses.
Easy now, right?
Everything's going to be so easy.
Because it was so easy for people like Jesus and Stephen.
Yeah. I mean, it was easy for those guys. But no, I found out real hard being a steadfast Christian is not an easy task.
It is not an easy task. Not if you're doing it right. Matter of fact, the better you're doing, the harder things get, it seems. Yeah.
Yes. So things are still, I still feel the way I feel as far as there's been a big change in me. And maybe that change is why I've made this other physical change.
Right.
Because I'm mentally healthy. I'm getting mentally healthy. And I'm getting spiritually healthy.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to get physically healthy.
Well, it's a whole package, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You cannot be mentally unhealthy and be spiritually healthy. If you don't have a balance there, you got to have them both. And
right.
You got to have a good balance there. So I have been working diligently to try to find a good mental health and a good spiritual health. Do I have my days where one outweighs the other? Yeah.
Yeah.
Does the mentally one take over a lot of times? Yeah, for sure. But I'm still digging in. I'm still there. I'm still working to be a better version of myself than I was yesterday. So every single day I'm trying to be a better version of myself. Could I do things a little better? Probably. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I absolutely could do things better. I had a chance to, we had talked about this. I don't think we talked about this on this podcast, but luckily our church is tied in with a group called MOST, which is Men Opposing Sex Trafficking. And so we had a big meeting this year, which was absolutely phenomenal, with a group of guys, probably had 100+ guys there. I'm working to try to get something set up here in our area so we can get guys involved over here. So sorry, I keep moving around in this chair.
No, it's all good.
So titanium hips are.
Oh man, that's tough, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get more people more aware of what's going on. The great thing about the Sound of Freedom was it had awareness.
Yeah.
But what's happened after the hoopla and hype died down? Nobody's talking about it anymore. So we don't need people just to be hot for it when it came out.
Right.
And then just kind of gradually lose interest in it. So we need to continue to stay bolstered. In Atlanta, Georgia, there was 45,000 plus ads to purchase women in Atlanta, Georgia. And 10% of those were underage girls.
Holy smokes.
So it's a major problem that we have, and it's here. It's not Atlanta's just
the world hub, right? They say.
Well, people say, you know, Atlanta's like, oh, that's the big city. It's a big city problem. It's not just a big city problem, because Cartersville, Georgia is 20 minutes from here.
Yeah.
And they arrested 3 hotel owners in Cartersville, Georgia for trafficking women out of 3 different hotels in Cartersville. Mm. So that's 20 minutes away from my kids, where they go to school, where we live. The community that we live in. And if you don't think it's going on in Rome and Floyd County, you're fooling yourself. Say.
There's 3, you know, Cartersville's 30 minutes from Atlanta. We're 20-ish minutes from Cartersville. So for the 3 of them, if they busted 3 of them, if they caught 3 of them in Cartersville, there's one here.
Oh, for sure.
You know, or 2, or maybe there's 5. Maybe there's 10 in Cartersville and they only caught 3 of them.
The one thing that we did when we had that meeting, which was pretty, it's emotional. That whole night was emotional. Mm. And so they asked us all to stand up, and the lights were really dim, and they were talking about women that are trafficked, and they were pulled in at ages early as 12 to 14 years old, and they're stuck in trafficking for decades.
Yeah.
Decades. To their 20s and their 30s and then to their 40s. Man. And I'm like, 40s, you know, it's kind of hard to understand. So to bring it all around, they said, what we want you to do is turn around and face the back of the room. Mm-hmm. And in the back of the room was probably 17 to 20 women that had been rescued from trafficking.
Oh, wow.
Ages ranging from teenagers to women in their 40s.
It became tangible.
And holy crap, dude. Like, I just got, I got cold chills all over me right now thinking about it. And so we went back and prayed over those women.
Yeah.
And told them that they were worthy.
Man.
And it was, man, you talking about there wasn't a dry eye in the room. It was like, it was heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy. Like a wet blanket that you carried. But it also got you fired up too. And so they do a good job with, they're working on a curriculum that's going to go state, it's going to be throughout the United States.
Yeah.
Two of the guys that's involved in this, you may know, is Adam LaRoche and Blaine Boyer.
Yeah.
They're 2 ex-Braves baseball players. There's a big ranch that they have. I'm not quite sure where the ranch is, but they have started this organization. There's a lot of, special ops military guys. You got Christians, pastors, and law enforcement's involved. I'd love to give you some stats on some things because I think it's super important, but I'm just not 100% sure on my numbers, so that I'm going to keep it to myself.
A lot.
But I will say this. Out of all the cases, sex crimes cases, not sex crimes, but sex trafficking cases out there, I want to say it's maybe 18% of law enforcement nationwide is trained and versed in how to deal with it.
18%.
And it's nothing. It's nothing. And it's not a fault to law enforcement.
Yeah.
But we have an awareness now.
Right.
So if we don't do anything from this point now.
Yeah.
Forward, moving forward, that's a problem.
Right. Yeah. Now that we know about it. I've got a buddy who is a police officer in a town about the size of Rome. He's not here, but he's the guy for his department.
Yeah.
That does that. You know, he gets online and talks to these guys that are looking for girls and but he's it.
Yeah.
He's the guy for that entire police department in a town of, they probably got 90,000 people where he lives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you imagine the size of the police.
Yeah. And you know, and I'll say this too, like, you know, anybody that deals with that on any kind of level and in a job you can leave at work.
Yeah.
And it's a job that I think only a special group of people can handle.
Yeah.
You know, and that job ain't for everybody.
Well, it would be tough for, daughters of dads,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But for, you know, those of us that have girls.
The one thing that I do is I take that information that I learned and that I know, and I pass that on to my girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do that to scare them, only to make them be aware.
Make them aware, right?
Yeah. And like Tim Kennedy said, if you come after my family,
oh man,
I'll wear your skin like a tuxedo.
Yeah. I mean, that brings out the protector, right? Like, I just want to be provider. Don't make me be protector.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we got to make our girls aware. We got to, you know, pay attention. You know, even my wife, I tell her too. I'm like, yeah, everybody just gets so complacent walking around with their phone in their hand, not paying attention to what's going on around them.
Yeah.
Like, and so we, you know, if it's scare tactics, if you want to call it scare tactics, that's fine. But I'm trying to make them aware.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make them aware.
Man, I thought I was tempted to speak to a lady the other day. I left here and walked down the block and a half to the parking deck where I park every day. And for at least half of that trip, you know, most of a block and then into the parking deck, I'm walking 10 feet behind a lady who's just on her phone. She's texting or she's playing Candy Crush or whatever it is. But she's completely unaware of the man behind her as we're walking into this dark parking deck. And I wanted to be like, hey, lady, you know, this is, let me do you a favor here. And you need to have some awareness. But I didn't want to make it creepy, so I didn't. Yeah.
No,
but maybe I should have.
Well, I'll tell you, and I'll give you a for instance there. I am not afraid to make somebody uncomfortable anymore. Yeah. After the things that I know, you know, what I know now,
yeah.
I am not afraid to make anybody uncomfortable. If I think they're looking at my kids too long.
Yeah.
If they're looking at my wife. Yeah, yeah. Or if I think they're tracking them, like following us around places, I will approach them.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, this weekend, I hard stared a guy down in a shopping area that we were in, me and my wife.
Man, in this day and age, you have to.
Because I was away from her. I was down further on the aisle than she was, and I saw him, and I pay attention to everything now, dude. Like I'm like, you know, focus, like the Terminator, like with the red stuff, you know, so. Kind of like when I took Adderall one time. But anyways, so I had been there inside of, we were in this shopping center, not shopping center, we was in a store. So I'm down the aisle and she's way up here above me. And so I'm looking back at her and I saw this guy walk past real slow and he stops and he's not just looking at her. He's like looking at her.
Oh.
Looking at her. And so I just walked my little self right down there and he'd walked past. And so I walked in the aisle and he turned around and looked at me. And I mean, I'm just staring a hole through this guy.
Just mean.
Like, man. I'm just like, man, say the wrong thing right now. And she's like, she has to calm me down. She has to calm me down. And she was like, you can't be that way. And I'm like, no, I can't help it.
Yeah, you
sorry.
Have to,
that's who I am. So, but yeah, being teaching your ladies to be vigilant, even if you have small boys. Like it's not just girls.
Yeah.
Small boys.
Yeah.
And sadly, small boys some places bring a higher price.
Mm.
If you want to, try to wrap your head around that.
So. Yeah, man. Yeah. I would rather not have to wrap my head around it, but that is the world that we live in.
Yeah. But the church that I'm involved in, City of Refuge in Calhoun, Tim Langston's our pastor. We've got a ton of different things that we got going on. We just did the Warrior Poet Way.
I was going to ask you about that.
It's a great book.
We tried to schedule this a while back, and you were like, "We got this Warrior Poet thing going on Monday nights when we record."
So I suggest anybody the media's tried to stomp out masculinity.
Yeah.
Read this book, man. Read this book.
This is
get an idea.
John Lovell, the Warrior Poet Society. Have you met John?
Darlington grad.
John went to Darlington?
He sure did, yeah.
Really?
I have not. The crazy thing is, when we started reading this book, he started talking about his soccer teacher or a gym coach and talked about how awesome he was and how tough he was, and he's real inconspicuous. Nobody would ever know. That was my Sambo instructor.
I'm going to say, you probably know that guy.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that guy used to choke me like halfway unconscious all the time.
Yeah. So,
but man, it's a great book, The Warrior Poet Way. Guys, read that. Read that. Young guys, read that.
Man,
get an idea.
Everybody,
of where the direction you need to be going in.
Yeah,
if you have a family, you're planning on having a family.
Yeah,
it's a great guide to how to treat your lady, and raise your children, and be a good person. Be a good person.
I need to read that. I followed John pretty closely, and he does a lot of good stuff, especially in the way of biblical masculinity and things like that. And I need to check that book out.
Yeah.
But
what do we always say? You be kind like Jesus, but don't forget Jesus flipped tables over.
Sometimes. So. Yeah. Yeah.
That's when I got baptized. I was like, I'm going to be the table flipping Jesus.
The table flipping. I mean, it's in there, you know, and it's for a reason. And you think if Jesus did it or said it, like, then it's okay.
Yeah.
Now we got to obviously, you know, we can't just flip tables.
No.
That's not all there was, but there was a time for flipping tables.
Yeah. I think it was funny when I got baptized. We have this have a big tank in the in our sanctuary, and Tim had like you know we talked right before he, I went under the water, and when he dunked me, I didn't scoot down far enough, and so I bonked my head on the back of the thing, and man, I bonked it good.
Yeah,
and I raised up, and of course, whatever my adrenaline was flowing, and I was like all pumped up or whatever. And I asked him, I said, did you feel my head hit the back there? And he said, yeah, I did it on purpose. He said, I was going to baptize you and knock some sense
send
into you.
Send a message. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, okay, that makes
thumped
sense.
Thumped on the head.
But coming up on a year, I got a grandbaby, a granddaughter. She's healthy. She's beautiful. My family's healthy. Everybody's doing well. These little bitty things that I think are huge, I pray about them a good bit, and I've seen God working in our life and working some situations out that I thought were unsurmountable at some points.
Yeah.
But man, I'm getting my health back. We're trying to tighten everything up right now.
Yeah,
we're trying to tighten everything up. What we got going on?
That's so good,
and
though, man.
And it's coming around.
So I'll put you on the spot here. Do you have everything figured out yet?
Heck no, man.
Do you still say all the right things or not say the wrong thing?
No.
You
know? I cussed at a lady for pulling out in front of me on the way over.
Oh, man. So. You're the car ride.
Yes.
Puts everything into perspective.
Yeah.
And you realize, like, man, I got more work to do.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm asking her, what are you doing? I'm like, she can't hear me.
Yeah.
And she obviously doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so I always tell people, like in my congregation especially, like you want to test your marriage, like put the family in the car and get them to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
You'll find something
to
argue about, or you'll get to church and realize that one of the kids doesn't have shoes on and you're about to just rage on, you know, and you realize, like, okay, got a little work to do. We're not there yet.
A cool thing that we do once a month, we teach, Brittany and I teach Sunday school.
Okay.
With a group of elementary school kids. I think they're second grader, third grader kids.
Woo.
No, man, I
bless
love
your
it.
Heart.
I love it. These kids, like, you know, I'm new. I'm a dummy when it comes to everything that,
baby Christian.
Yes, yeah. Dude. Like baby Christian. These kids are so bright and they're so smart.
They're so perceptive.
And they know way more about the Bible than I do. So yeah, I'm over here reading and asking questions, and they're like, and I'm like, man,
theology.
I don't know anything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But we did Sunday school class this past Sunday, and absolutely, it is a joy for me. I look forward, like when we first got signed up for it, I was like, man, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But then when we got in there, I was like, man, this is exactly where we're supposed to be. It's what we're supposed to be doing.
That's the key, right? When you realize, like, this is where I'm supposed to be. And it's more than what you sign. Like, I can sign up and cover this class until we find somebody else or whatever, you know. But, like, to understand what a calling is and to know, like, this is why I came to this building the very first time I walked in the door. Like, not even just today when I'm teaching this lesson, but, like, the very first time I came in, this is why.
Yeah.
So all that stuff that you've done the last year culminates with the 45 minutes that you got these kids on, you know, any given Sunday morning. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
We did. And then one more thing that I'm doing too is, like, I'd started a 12-step. And so a lot of people get a misconception about a 12-step and think it's like a recovery for drugs and alcohol or substance abuse, things like that. Whether you want to admit it or not, most people all of us, if you got, like my friend Ricky says, if you got a belly button, you need 12 step.
Yeah.
You know, people are recovering from depression. People are recovering from a loss that they've had. There's so many different things. And so the one cool thing that we're doing now, I don't even know how much longer I've got to go, but we have to break down an inventory of the things that have hampered us and caused us issues. I mean, it's caused me to kind of like, my saying is gut myself like a fish.
Yeah.
I just gut myself like a fish and throw it out there. I don't have anything to hide. So I'm just trying to purge every single thing out of me that has kind of kept me restricted and held back from being who I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And so this thing's been remarkable for me. My wife tells me that she can tell a huge difference in me. And the way that I do certain things now, but I've been doing that as well. So it's not like I've been a sideline Christian.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out where I'm at and where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm super impatient. So I just want it now. Yeah. Now, you know, but it's all on God's time. It's not,
it's not my time. It's exactly. No. And it's, we talk about a journey and a culmination and all these things. And it does kind of culminate every, like it does for me every Sunday when I stand up and preach or whatever. But then I realize, like last Sunday, I'll make an excuse and say I had been sick or whatever. I still had the brain fog going on. Probably shouldn't have preached because it wasn't my best work.
Yeah.
I probably should have found somebody else. It wasn't a great sermon. So, like, I'm still working on that. You know, I've preached I don't know how many hundred sermons now, but, like, it's still a process. We never get there. Like, we never finish. You know, as long as we're on this earth, there's always room for improvement. So it's not just you as a baby Christian. I'm trying to encourage people who have been, you know, I've been a believer for, I don't remember not being a believer, you know, my entire life, but I've still got things to do. And I hear other people talk, whether it's a little kid or somebody that's been preaching for 50 years and he says something and I go, man, I wish that my brain operated that way and I knew those things and I could get them out of my mouth, you know. And
Me too. I feel the same way. So there's like so much I want to say, but I don't know how to, I don't know the correct verbiage to say it.
Right, yeah. So you start thinking, saying what you're feeling and all these things, and you go, well, I don't know if that's, is that in the Bible? Because it was my feeling. Was it, you know, is it scriptural or not? And then, but yeah, it's not. That's to say, I guess, that don't feel like you're supposed to be at any certain point after you've been doing this for a year or 5 years or 50 years, you know, as it goes. It's just not, we'll never understand it all. We'll never have public speaking mastered or, you know, conveying thoughts, and we'll get better at it and be good at it, but not like, I don't know, maybe it's never going to be your thing to preach a sermon. That's fine. You know, we got all kinds of people in the kingdom, but, yeah, it's just not a destination. It's about the journey, you know, and
it still blows my mind that people can just spout off like scripture.
Yeah.
Like, I can read it 100 times, and I'm like, I guess I have some ADHD. I don't know. I have to repeatedly read it to get it to stick.
So, right.
Or I have to have something that I can kind of attach it to for it to stick.
Well, that's I don't know. I can remember. I struggle to remember chapter and verse a lot of times, and I'll think, well, the Bible says X, Y, and Z, and it does. And I go, man, I should be able to say that's Joshua, you know, 1:9 or you know, whatever. But I can't always. I struggle with that. So even having done it as long as I have, it's still, there's still issues and things that you struggle with. It's just, you know, your fitness journey, it's never going to end, right? You're going to work on it forever. True. Your mental health journey is never going to end. Your spiritual journey, never going to end. I say never going to end. It ends one day when we get our reward. But like, in the meantime, we're just one day better than we were yesterday, hopefully.
That's what we can shoot for. That's all we can do, man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do every single day.
Man.
Just be a better version of myself tomorrow than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
Or today.
And it's showing. It's, you're making progress. And
It's been a long road.
Yeah.
It's been a long road. So.
But you do things different now, and you're, I don't know, the way that you talk is different. You're aware of things that you say, you know, so it seemed like you kind of got a leash on yourself.
Yes.
And you can go, well, that was, I shouldn't say that.
Very short. It.
Sometimes you've passed the point when you realize you shouldn't have said it, but that's true for
maybe
me too.
Maybe a shot collar.
That's what we need, right? With shot collars to be like, oh, shouldn't have said that.
Oh, I'd be dead. I'd be electrocuted in about 20 minutes of my day.
Oh, man. So, it's, I don't know, is it, you feel like it's carrying over into your podcasting?
I think that myself, yes, I think so myself. I mean, definitely, I can tell that I'm a little.
I asked more, that because I already knew the answer.
A little more aware of what I say. Sometimes I'll still let things slip.
Yeah.
It's just, I've changed the way that I kind of go about certain topics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's cool to hear because you can tell the difference, and you could go back and. Probably point to an episode and you go, that's where things changed.
Yeah, you can go back and say, what in the world is wrong with him?
I was recording me out there probably saying, who knows what. But blame it on AI. Like, I didn't say that. That was AI.
Allen Iverson? What?
Right, the answer,
We talking about practice.
Practice. We talking about practice. Are you familiar with this? The practice thing?
Oh, man.
You got to look it up. I thought everybody knew. Oh, man. practice. You're getting practice, though.
I get a lot of practice. A lot.
Life provides its own practice, you know, and we get in situations and we find out, yeah, well, I'm not there yet.
I'm just hopeful that the things that we do in the practice that we are in will execute when the time comes.
It will.
And you'll do it correctly.
Well, you remember training a jiu-jitsu technique, and the first time you tried it, it was terrible.
Yeah.
And then you drilled it 500 times.
And it's still terrible.
And it's less terrible. About. Yeah. But then you see it come around in a roll, and you go, oh, there's worm guard.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Because I drilled it 500 times. Yeah. I thought I was lousy at it, but I did it. There it is. But it's the same way.
It was like I was easy to beat. My lower body is not as strong as everything. I've always had issues with my hips. But at one time, my arms were like 19 inches around. And so everybody knew, don't let him get your head.
Yeah.
Don't let him get your head.
Yeah.
If he gets your neck, it's done. So
got a game plan.
But I got garter snakes now. The pythons are all gone.
We're not what we used to be.
If I squeeze somebody too hard, I'll probably get a hernia.
Oh, you might. But it's all in good fun at this point. Yeah. You know, battle scars. I got a hernia, but I'm my age and I'm in there getting after it. So. I deserve to get hurt at this point, I think.
Yeah, I think I was always upset that I never got a cauliflower ear.
I could never
I never got one, man.
I had it two different times, and it busted both times, like all on its own, and it was just the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
I used to think that I wanted my ears to look like chewed up bubble gum. I don't think I want that now.
If I was 25,
I think I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
That's a big indicator to know that's the guy that you don't mess with, or girl.
Yeah.
If their ear looks like chewed up
bubble gum. You walk into a room and look people in the ears.
You keep moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep moving. Or make friends.
That's real quick. Man, so when I coached wrestling, Tango, you might have been the year you were on the squad. We went to a dual meet one time. We're totally chasing a rabbit right now. But so it's our turn. And we're going to be up on, you know, mat four or whatever. And that's our bench over there. And Creekview had been on that bench before us, Creekview High School. And our coach, Gary Johnson, our head coach, and I went to high school. I love Gary. He's like, go over there and tell them to get their stuff off our bench. So I was like, okay, because I was 27 years old. And I go over there and I tap their coach on the shoulder and I was like, hey, buddy. He turns around. Robbie's got one eye and two cauliflower ears. And I was like, hey, can I help you get that stuff off the bench? You know, like,
yeah, I would have been insane. Can I
wash y'all's bus? Or, yeah. You know, yeah. Like, whatever.
You need me to carry this out for y'all?
Do whatever. The nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
I wish I knew his name. I'd say
that's
it.
That's too freaking funny.
Yeah. I was like, this dude has more cauliflower ears than eyes. He's probably wrestled a bear or two. Like, yeah. I'm not trying this
it's
guy.
Like, I don't even want to know how you lost your eye.
I don't even. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But, yeah. So, cauliflower ears, they speak volumes.
They do. They do. If you're not smart, if you didn't learn anything about tonight's episode,
cauliflower ears.
Don't mess with a guy with cauliflower ears.
Yeah. He's
don't.
Earned them. He's don't earned them.
Yeah.
I've tried
that
to.
That wasn't a birth defect.
No.
That's a trophy.
Yeah. That's a
two of them.
Battle scar, an actual battle scar. But I don't know. You remember that, Tango? I don't know if you were there that time or not.
I think that may have been before me.
Might have been. It's my first year coaching.
Oh, that was definitely before me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was my phase where my boss made me coach wrestling because I had done some kickboxing and it must have been the same thing.
Right? Oh, well, it's all the same.
Totally. Hey, so we got, I've done three episodes of your show.
Yeah.
And we always talk about TV preachers.
Man.
So here, I got one for you. It's not a TV preacher. There's a guy in, I forget even now if it's North or South Carolina. This is going to set you on fire.
No.
So he's up in front of his church. And I saw this on TikTok right before I got here tonight. We have a mutual friend that shared it. And I don't want to say her name on here, but it's a preacher in front of his church. And he's talking about all these women wearing shorts. And how, listen to me on this, if this woman got raped and he was on the jury, then that guy would walk.
Ho-ho.
Because these women ain't got no business wearing shorts.
Man.
And men do what men do.
Come on.
Right? So this pastor gets on stage and
did people get up and leave?
Tells you, I hope everybody left. But he tells you when it's okay for a woman to get raped. Like, that was his thing, right? So
somebody needs to look at his hard drive.
Right.
I mean,
you know, I don't know. This guy might not have a hard drive. He's one of those.
No, he's an older
guy from way back. But at the same time, man, you can't get on in the pulpit and define when it's okay for a woman to get raped. But it's the legalism there where you're like, you know, the repeat after me and you'll be saved people. Or
yeah. You know what really, like, grinds my gears?
Get it.
That, when those incidents happen, and you'll see a collection of people in the church. Like, I mean, watch these videos. I've sent you some, and there's some that I wouldn't send you because I felt it was just too bad. These people back these lunatics. They stay right there and agree with them, and hey, man, you know, just like, you know, dude, come on. Like, there's one guy. I don't know what the name of this guy is. I've seen him. He's got a ton of videos on TikTok where he just flips out on his church.
He's a preacher?
He's a younger guy. He's probably in his 30s. He's got dark brown hair. And I think they're in Texas. I want to say they're a church in Texas. And, man, he's just like, he throws people out of his church, yells at people, acts crazy. And he had a debate with some other guy.
Craig Locke.
Yes. Yes, sir. That's
the
exactly
flat earth.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly what it is. But there was another gentleman in there that he brought in there to debate with. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the debate was on. But he literally got this guy in there and just started like...
Well, this was the flat earth debate, right?
Was that what it was?
Just recently.
Yeah, it wasn't long ago.
Yeah.
He's ripping this guy's head off.
For like an hour and a half. Yes. Went on forever.
And people are like, why would you go sit in a toxic area? There's nothing... To me, sitting in that type of environment...
Yeah.
Whether it be church or a bar... Or, you know, booking prisoners in at the jail.
Yeah.
It's all the same to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it seems like a lot of hate spewed.
Well, that was what I got from it. I watched it. And I've seen the dude's been around forever. He's had videos forever.
Like one guy that he has him thrown out of his church. And he's like, if you don't like that, then you can get up and go as well. You can leave too. You can go as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just like, but he's got a ton of people in his church.
But it's just hate, though.
Yeah.
You know, like I watched most of that debate. Like I didn't care anything about it, man. But people like 11 people sent it to me. And they're like,
you
watch this.
You're watching how he treats other people.
That was what I got.
Man, there's things that goes on all the time that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to like, I'm not going to do that.
Well, I'm watching this. I'm like, bro, all you had to do was defend the spherical earth.
That's it.
That's it. But then you showed, I mean, it was hate. And he ends up like. Cutting the guy's mic off and kicking him out of the church. And like, if you have to cut somebody's mic off, you've lost a debate.
Do you know who he reminds me of? And this is way back, and you may not know. Like, when I was a kid, I had a TV in my room, so I stayed up late and watched TV. Do you remember Morton Downey Jr.?
Yes.
This guy's the Christian version of Morton Downey Jr. All he does is get people on there and scream at him and then kicks them out of church.
And then throws them out,
That's what he did his TV show. He would get out there and he would scream at people and then kick them off the stage.
Yeah.
It's the same. They do the same thing. But he's doing it in the name of Jesus, so it's okay.
Is he, though? I mean, like, he is doing it in the name of Jesus, air quotes. But holy smoke, you can't treat people that way.
No. It's insane to see these people. And then there was another one at one time where – this man had been having inappropriate relationships with the girls in the church, and she gets up in front of the church, and her and her new husband, and like he apparently had been having inappropriate relationship with her when she was 14 years old.
Ooh.
Now she's like 19, and she's married to this guy in the church, and they get up and expose him in front of the whole church, and people are upset.
That he got exposed?
People are upset that this happened.
Okay.
And then people are upset that she exposed him, and they all went up there on the church and prayed for him. And there's people in the church screaming, did this happen? Is this true?
Yeah.
Did this happen? Is it true? And he didn't deny it. And then I guess one of the deacons or somebody else in the church said, we really need everybody to get up here and pray for Pastor So-and-so.
Pastor So-and-so needs to go to jail.
I'm like, Pastor So-and-so needs some hands put on him.
Yeah.
Behind the baptismal pool. But it still amazes me how people get so sucked in and just got the blinders on. They cut all sense of reality and what they know off.
Yeah, all common sense is gone.
Yeah, just for this one specific person it makes me nuts.
Well, we talked about it on your show before. It's the idea that, like, I can help you with eternity. So you have to do what I say.
Do you have a square on your cell phone?
Oh my god!
I need you to put in your monthly donation. Right, we're gonna swipe your card.
You got the Cash App or the Venmo? Just go ahead and send it over. You know,
I mean, it's terrible. It's not that we're making fun of. Again, I'm not making fun of church. I'm not making fun of Christianity, religion.
Yeah,
it's just certain people are in charge of so many people's lives.
Yeah.
Or put themselves in a position to be in charge of other people's lives.
Right.
When they have no business, you wouldn't want them in charge of feeding your goldfish when you're on vacation.
Well, and I always wonder when you see these guys, if it started out that way, you know, maybe Greg Locke was a great pastor with a heart for men and, you know, all that good stuff. And one day he had some videos blow up. All of a sudden he's famous.
And he starts getting a little money.
And then the crazier talk, the more hits get. So, that, you know, you wonder, is that how it started? Or maybe that was the goal the whole time.
It's a new revenue stream.
Yeah.
It's a whole new revenue stream. Yeah.
I got to say crazier things I get. Don't do that. That's terrible.
I know, one thing that bothered me, I think if you want real news nowadays, you get on TikTok to get it. You don't have to just.
It looks like it.
I mean, that's the only. You get immediate news quick about things that's going on. That's how I found out about the Air Force guy. But there's these little ads, these little reels, these little ads where people's figure out how to maximize your potential as a Christian by, you know, taking these TikTok courses,
expanding your social media reach.
I mean, that's what it is. It's just another it's a revenue stream for a lot of people.
I mean, we can all get a bunch of bots, right, and follow us and get all the clicks and ping us in the algorithm and all that good stuff. But what good are we really doing?
No, it's all self gratification.
Yeah,
at that point, so
it's a thin line between getting the message out and becoming famous.
Yeah,
or pursuing fame. Sometimes you get famous, popular, well-known, whatever, just because of the work you do. But whether or not you're pursuing it, I think is the difference. But it's so easy to pursue these days and get caught up in that. And
oh, yeah, for sure.
Last video, we got 1,000. Let's see if we can get 3,000 this time. Yeah. You know, and 10,000. And now they're all monetized. And holy smokes.
If you're me, you don't get famous. You're just infamous.
Infamous. There's the infamous side, too.
Yeah.
You don't want to be an infamous pastor, though.
No. Well, I mean, even how crazy all that stuff works is my when I posted my polar plunge videos on Instagram, just because I want to try to inspire other people to do different things to get healthy, they were banned for possibly sharing misinformation or harmful information.
Really?
Possibly.
The potential of being possibly wrong.
I'm just a fat dude getting in some cold water.
I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I saw you on video get into the cold plunge and then you get out. That's a fact. That happened.
Yeah, it happened.
You know, whether or not you say this, you know, cures athlete's foot or whatever, I don't know, but that's on you. Don't take medical advice from some guy on Instagram.
And I say that. I always say, ask your, you know, go talk to your doctor about this. This is what's happening to me right now.
Holy smokes. Yeah.
But, you know, jihadi terrorists can have their own
get
page.
Get there and say whatever
post,
you want.
Post pictures of dead people. And it's cool. Man. It's cool. So
it just depends on, you know, what side of the political spectrum you line up on. And are you good or are you the evil that we call good these days?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. It's a wild place we live in, man.
It is. It's
and by this place, I mean the world.
The world, yeah. It's about as stupid as it can get right now.
Don't say that, Rob. Don't.
I think it could get worse.
It could always get worse.
Sadly, it could get worse.
We got Neuralink going now. It could get, maybe this could be fantastic, but maybe we can read each other's awful thoughts too, you know, and what?
Minority Report. Anybody see that movie?
I mean, was it prophetic? You know,
if you think about a crime, they just come arrest you before you commit it. I mean, dude, it's. I look at it like terrifying. This, dude. I talked to my wife about this. Okay, so you're looking at the way that everything's going in the world and the state of mess we're in. And let's take a look at movies in the past. Okay, Minority Report was what, in the early 2000s.
Maybe. Might have been 98, 99,
early 2000s.
Tango's going to look it up for us.
So now we're looking at those specific things being implemented.
Okay. Yeah. 2002. So 22 years ago.
So it's being implemented now. They're trying to do it.
He.
thinking about how scary the Hunger Games are.
Man, that's the first thing I thought was, I was like, well, that could happen in real life. I'm like,
are we living in the freaking Hunger Games? Is that what's coming next?
We might be, yeah. I mean,
is it just an early rollout, you know, of what's potentially going to happen in the future? Are these movies giving us a blueprint or a look into the future of what's going to happen? What they're working on?
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me these specific sectors, these, you know, politicians, uber rich, you know, elites.
Yeah. The Hollywood crowd.
Hollywood producers in the Hollywood crowd. They don't, you know, Bohemian Grove, if you want to get real crazy with it.
Mm-hmm.
All of it's just kind of, you know, look at Eyes Wide Shut. You look at Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing? What's happening?
Here's one thing about 1993 film Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley mm-hmm. Snipes. Is that not the world we're living going toward right now, where it's an biased and ultra like non-violent, everybody's PC, you can't think bad thoughts about people of certain things. Back then, that was just a movie with explosions and terrible things. And now it's becoming reality, just like Idiocracy.
If you want something to just scare the pants off of you,
bring that. Let's
go ahead and take a look at the Chinese in certain states in the United States have their own police forces and their own police stations police their own people. Dude, that is completely against every single thing.
Can't do that.
You can't even do it. It's not even legal, but it's allowed to.
It's happening.
They can police their own people. The other thing that we're looking at, man, this thing's going, this is a Cigars for Idiots podcast. Yeah, this thing went off the rails. So the other thing you're looking at too is, we're looking at the military
mm-hmm.
and you're saying the military is never going to conform to take over the United States because they still are we the people.
Right.
The Americans are not going to conform to do these dastardly deeds to take over.
I will turn on the people, yeah.
So that's why we have so many illegals in this country that we can stick into the military as part of their, you got to come here, but you got to serve.
Yeah.
Well, when they get enough of those in there calling the shots, they don't have any skin in the game. They don't care. They're going to do what they're asked to do for the simple fact that they're going to get to stay here and they're going to reap
the rewards. Right, they get rewarded for it. I heard somebody talking about this the other day. It might have been on
Reddit. Tim. It was Tim.
Tim Pool, yeah.
I mean,
I've heard several people say something along those same lines.
Do you want to talk about gutting a society in a matter of years?
Yeah.
But just remember, the Japanese, they asked the Japanese a long time ago in World War II, they asked a general in the Japanese army, would they ever invade the United States?
Yeah.
And he said, never. And they asked him why. And he said, because behind every blade of grass is an American with a gun.
We are well armed, for sure. Yeah.
So, man,
the three of us are not. We all lost ours in a boating accident.
I will not give you what I'll do it off air. Tell you what I'm afraid of. But man, if things shake out the way what I'm afraid is going to happen, we're in a world of destitute. Like in people. Men are going to have to start being men again.
Yeah.
You're going to have to start taking care of business on all fronts.
Yeah.
I just don't know if the generations below us, like, dude.
Bless our kids' hearts, man.
It's freaking terrifying. Yeah. If somebody don't get the ship righted quick, and when I say quick, we're talking 10 years. That's quick. That's as quick as it's going to be righted.
Yeah, right, yeah.
If we don't start working on that nail, man, what is my granddaughter going to grow
up? Well, that's the thing. We can't wait until we live in a dystopian society to stand up and be manly men and do, you know, manly men leadership type things.
Bread and circus.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and let's do a $1.2 billion student loan forgiveness for X amount of people. Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, this group of people, we're going to give them $1,400 a month just because.
Just for the fun of it.
Just for that boat. We're going to pay for that boat. This guy, this just went crazy, didn't it?
It did. We're off the rails.
Or we're going to give $10,000 to you because you came here and we're not going to check anything.
Yeah, free health care.
She's 10 grand.
Well, free. That's in New York.
Yeah,
that's
free health care.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your kids can't practice baseball here today on this field because now we have all these tents for all these people.
Yeah, right.
Oh, basketball practice is canceled for how long? Forever. Because we have immigrants here.
Yeah.
We
sorry,
got... We've got people.
Listen about the church, though. We started our church during COVID, so they can come up here and fight me, I guess.
Dude, we've got people in our country right now that are attacking law enforcement on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
They're being arrested and then released immediately.
Being dumped right back out on the street.
The girl, bless her heart and her family, too, the girl at the University of Georgia, the nursing student,
gosh,
just
yeah.
got murdered this past weekend. Past weekend. Illegal immigrant here illegally.
Yeah.
From where was he? Do you know where he was from? And I think he killed his brother too. Like,
yeah, it wasn't his first time around.
I want to say
Ecuador, maybe
Honduras, Ecuador.
I think it was a South American country. Yeah, I don't think he was a Mexican.
But here illegally, here illegally murdered this girl. Should have never been here.
Well, that's and people are always like, well, people aren't illegal, you know, and you got to love your neighbor and build bridges and not fences
okay, well,
and all those things.
Live them in your house. Let them sleep in the same room.
Right.
House
all
as
these
your
people
kids.
That are stumping for it, you know, and I'm for helping whoever
same.
Needs to be helped, man. Yeah, but like, same. You can't let folks, murderers, just run around unchecked either. You know?
All the money that we've gave to the Ukraine, you could have took that money and you could have solved the homeless crisis.
Man.
You could have sewed up Social Security,
yeah.
and I think gave everybody a free college education.
At this point,
those three
no
things,
thanks, you know, keep your college.
You could have done that,
yeah.
with that money.
Yeah.
We sent, man, come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's hard to be.
Did you find where he was from?
Yeah. The
news won't tell you. They don't want to.
No, they don't want to. Yeah. Just like
the podcasts are important.
Well, just like the shooter that we interviewed from.
The
guy
that
stopped the
guy.
Shooter.
Yeah.
In Kansas City, it took forever for us to find out anything about the shooters.
Yeah.
I still don't say that ain't right. I still say something's fishy with that whole deal because the guy that we interviewed, he told us that the guy had a AR type. Rifle gun, mm-hmm. okay. How many people do you know gets in a verbal altercation with each other and shoots at each other with ARs?
And pulls out an AR-15?
No, it's always a handgun.
Yeah.
It's always a handgun. First, we can't release the names because they're juveniles. Nope, they're grown men.
Yeah.
They were adults. They tried to bury that.
Yeah, yeah. No, they didn't.
We knew.
Tell us
like
were.
We got the interview. Like we knew. I was trying to put that, you know, put that mess
you
out.
Find that guy. We'll talk about that off air.
Man, you just look them up and ask them.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
I guess so. Yeah. Hit them up on Twitter. Hey,
yep,
bro.
That's what I did. I actually did. And, man, and I'll tell you, if you listen to that interview, he's still shaking.
Yeah.
Like, he's still reeling from it. Like, him and his wife and his two kids were there.
Yeah.
He tackled a shooter, an active
yeah,
shooter.
Yeah, a guy who's actually squeezing the trigger. Yeah.
Tackled the guy. Him and another guy held him down to the cops.
But in that moment, you got to make a decision. You know, that you let that guy keep pulling that trigger, and it's going to be your family.
I mean, that's what he told it. He said that he's just an average, normal guy.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not a bad dude. I don't fight. He's 5'6". He's as tall as me.
Yeah, not seeing some MMA fighter, big giant guy. Yeah.
He said that, you know, it was he didn't even actually realize that he was a shooter. Until people started screaming, gun, gun, gun.
Yeah.
And you can go back. You used to find the video of the gun laying up against the concrete wall
mm-hmm.
while they had him on the ground. Well, that video's gone. You
cannot, oh, yeah.
You can't
yeah.
find that video
Scrubbed.
At all. Disappeared. So we always say on Cigar Story Eddie's podcast, if you see it on TikTok and you think it's crazy, go ahead and screenshot it.
Yeah, go ahead and grab
because
it.
Because it's going to disappear.
Yeah.
It'll be about a day and it'll be gone. So, yeah.
Man, well, it's a shame that things like podcasting and TikTok are so important now. In
it
terms
is.
Of getting the truth out, you
it
know,
is.
And that's tough. It shouldn't be. You should be able to turn on Walter Cronkite, you know what I'm saying, and just get the news.
Yeah.
But now you have to listen to the Cigar Story Idiots.
Man, you are not going to get smart listening to us.
Maybe
go
not.
Ahead and promise you
I
that.
Mean,
you might learn a couple of things.
You might.
But it's just going to be a couple.
No, there are things out there, man. It's all important. It should be, you know, like we were talking about podcasting earlier and what it means to us and how important it is.
Yeah.
But like the more time goes on and the crazier things get and the more they want to put the clamps on information coming from one source or another, like it's us.
I feel like now I've taken this thing, like I'd really, honest to God, feel like it's my duty
Yeah.
That we have a platform now, yeah. And we've been doing this. We're 301 episodes in.
Oh, you crossed 300. Okay. I know you were
and
coming
And so up. Now, like, I feel like, and when we first started our podcast, I was like, we are never talking about politics. Politics is stupid. We're not going to bring it up. I'm not getting tied up in that world. But, you know, but now I feel like we see so many things, and nobody wants to talk about them. You're not going to hear about it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, it's our platform. We built this thing in 3 years. We've got over 300 episodes. We have to put the good out there.
Yeah.
We've got to put the information out there, good or bad. People have to be aware.
Oh, that was I think I've got an episode, I think, that's called Politics, because that was the only time I was going to talk about it. It was like episode 14 or whatever. This is going to be 141.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't going to get into it. Same kind of thing.
I swore we would.
But it's everywhere. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. If you're going to talk about life at all,
yeah.
Like you have to get into it, and you got to be on a side, you know?
And now, just to kind of tie this in there, Brittany and I did an episode on Gypsy Rose Blanchard, that whole story.
Oh, yeah. I got to listen to that.
So
I'm not super familiar with that story.
So her mom, you know, Munchausen by proxy syndrome, yeah. You kind of have an idea with that.
Yeah, you gave me a little bit last
so
time.
So you take a look
show.
At what happened to her. It is no different than these mothers getting on TikTok holding up their baby saying, my baby's gay.
Yeah.
We're coming out today. My baby's gay. I'm like, your baby's
got
baby.
No idea.
Your baby don't even know who you are.
Right.
Are you lunatic holding this baby up saying this.
Child abuse.
It is child abuse, and it is 100% the definition of Munchausen by proxy syndrome, because they are forcing this child to live as something that it's not.
Yeah.
Going to take it probably to get mutilated at some
point. I'm sure. Yeah. Bless that kid.
Dress
heart.
It in, put this male child in a dress, let it grow its hair out.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude. What are we doing? What are we doing anymore?
Man.
People got to get sick of it and say something about it.
Well, they do. They got to get sick of it. They got to say something. They've got to, like, the church has got to be real. Are you with us, Tango? You okay?
Look at my gay baby.
I know, right? Holy smokes. No, the church has got to be real about stuff like this. We've gotten so wrapped up in, like, not hurting people's feelings.
Bro, I'm so tore up. Like, my youngest daughter goes to a school in this area, and she had a kid on her cheerleading squad. Okay? It's a little girl. Cute little girl. Well, she's a little boy now. And her mom's proud of her for being brave. And her new name is a boy name now. And so if anybody calls her by her female name,
Put
the clown nose on and bring the circus to town. It's
right.
Like, and I'm just like, she, and then I have to find a way to find, like, this is the change in me. I'm getting so crazy. I'm going to start slapping something. So this is the change in me. I want to be like, you know, you don't have to. But what I do to my 9-year-old is say, look, you have to figure out a way to communicate with her and let her know, you know, make her feel, not feel, but you don't have to conform to it.
Right.
You know, your name is not.
I don't have to go along with this thing.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. That is not what I knew you as.
Right.
And cheerleading.
Oh, man. But it's that, you know, like you got to learn how to address your friend who now says they're a boy or a girl or whatever. And like, my kids know, like when we go to the parade, they know the difference in a crowd between concealment and cover.
Yeah.
You know, like, so we got to talk to people the right way, and we got to know what to hide behind when bullets start flying.
What conversations can we have with this as Christians to have with these families that are so broken down in their values that are allowing their children to change their gender just because they had a hard week?
I don't think it's a values thing. I think it's a mental problem.
Some
of these people are just broken in the head.
It is 100% a mental problem.
Yeah.
It is. Sorry.
But then the values suffer, though, because of, I don't know, man. It's just that we're taught so much now, like the decline of the family.
Yeah.
You know, like the family is not good for...
family's bad, dude.
Yeah, nuclear family's not cool anymore. You know, bless her heart, mom.
Well, just take a look in California. They just passed a law, or there's a bill right now that just passed about the kids. Here's my whole thing. This thing has turned into a 2-episode podcast. So you've got these kids who are at a school, at an elementary school, and they have a transgender teacher, a man wearing a pink dress and mm-hmm. lipstick with a beard and his head shaved. Freak.
Yeah.
How does this guy even get in the system?
We homeschool our kids.
I know how he gets in the system. I found out. Yeah. So I can share that with you. But he's grooming this child to tell them it's okay if you want to be a boy. You can be a boy. You don't have to listen to your parents because they don't love you.
See, that's not okay, no matter what your religious beliefs are.
This child is being groomed
yeah.
by an educator in the system, and the educator reaches out to the freaking counselor of the school. The school reaches out to Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services comes into the house and removes the child because they are being abused by their parents who will not conform
yeah.
to this BS ideology that's being shoved down their little elementary school mind.
Yeah, who would have thought of this on their own.
Never.
Oh, that's insanity.
So you want to know how they get in the system. They go to the job interview, just like you and I would go to a job interview.
Yeah.
And they don't play the crazy card. They're just dressed. You know, it's Mr. Davis.
Right.
Looks like I'm Mr. Davis.
Yeah.
Mr. Davis gets a job. Well, he comes to school, starts hanging up his flags
mm-hmm.
and wearing lipstick. And now they can't fire him because it's an HR issue.
Right. Holy smokes.
That's how they get in. That's how they're getting in. Because that's the biggest question to me. I was like, well, how are we giving these people access to our children? How is that happening? And it's like, well, it's really simple. This is what happens.
Yeah. You just do. This is the process. And then
it's like, oh, you can't do anything because you're going to get sued for discrimination.
Yeah, all kinds of weirdness. Right.
Discrimination against we legalized a mental illness in this country.
Yeah, we normalized it. Yeah.
And now it's
now we have to cater to it, but we don't, though. That's the thing,
The reason we see so much of it, it's like shoved down our throats, is because it's on every single thing that we see. It's mm-hmm. on the radio.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we got a parade that jumps up and down the street, whatever. But what they do is they've implemented this whole ideology with this whole crazy thing. You can't say anything against it. You can't speak out against it. But you know what? It looks big. It looks huge because it's everywhere we look.
Yeah.
It's only a small percentage of the populace that are doing these things.
There are more people that support it than are participating in it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I know, and I'm friends with some people that are homosexuals, and I know these people, and I'm not. They don't want all that nonsense.
Just your standard run-of-the-mill gay person? No, they don't want that.
All that smoke. Yeah. All that, you know, they just want to live their life and be happy just like everybody else.
Yeah.
They're not trying to go, you know, go to a book fair at Jimmy John Elementary School and pole dance.
Oh, man.
A bunch of three-year-olds.
Yeah.
What? I mean, nobody's... What? Why is that even a thing? Why is it a thing?
Right.
I was going to say, there was an interview with, like, some old school drag queens who were talking about this, who were like...
They said it's grooming.
They saw a child in the audience, they were shutting it down. Yeah. And said, whose child is this?
Yeah.
Get the heck out!
Yeah.
Now it's like, this is for them.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Yeah.
But we're talking old school. You're talking old school. New school is not going to be that way. New school. We are slowly introducing that and normalizing... pedophilia. It's exactly what it's grooming.
Yeah.
At the highest. And then you look at that too. Like, I mean, they're asking to be called MAPS.
Minor attractive persons. Yeah.
And before long, that'll be the label that they're given. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
Man, how did we get here?
That's a good question, Rob. I mean, all we got to do is talk about life for a few minutes and then this is where we end up.
Yeah.
Because that's. Life, it's how I go. What you got, Tanger?
I was going to say, let's hit some good news on this. Don't know. There's an Indiana case about the parent being the child being separated from mm-hmm. the parents.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to the Supreme Court. So if it goes, it shuts this whole California thing down. So we're getting some little wins.
Sure.
So and we just need a little bit of sanity to win.
Yeah.
Wins.
And if we're going there. And Florida's like past it, they're like, no, we absolutely, you will stay out of the house.
Yeah. You have to.
Parents are parents.
Yeah,
you're staying out of the house. Yeah.
So we are getting some wins. So it's not all doom and gloom, and they're turning the freaking frogs gay.
God,
it ain't just perfect. The frogs, man.
That's perfect.
We're gonna wrap this thing up right here, and I'll say that the church has got to start doing what the church is supposed to do.
Yeah,
pastors are, but they got to start saying what we're supposed to say, and you know, this is on us. And we've gotten to this point because the church has gotten lazy and complacent, mm-hmm. and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, you know, and all those good things. So if you're not part of a good Bible believing, you know, sin preaching church, like find one, get rid of the pastor you got. Cause if he's just tickling your ears, it's not doing you any good. But they're out there. There are still churches out there that preach that sin is real and hell is hot and all that good stuff. And that's where we got to get back to. Men got to be men, and families that are still together. Yeah, I guess still got to do family stuff. And we'll jump off right there. We might look at this and cut it into two or three episodes. And
you can.
We'll see what's well. I don't know how long we've been talking now, but
an hour and 30 something.
Okay. Not quite as long as I thought, man. But anyhow, thank you for coming on, man.
Man, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
We'll do it again.
Absolutely. Can't wait. I'm glad to be a repeat offender on the Burn.
Repeat
podcast.
Offender. I don't call them that over here, Rob.
Sorry. That's another thing.
God bless you guys. Right, we love
care.
You.
Thank you.
See you next time.
1 out of 3
They're turning the freaking frogs gay.
He'll roll out as Alex Jones about 1 out of every 3 episodes.